Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Frank, for those songs. I'd like to welcome the visitors that we have with us. We've got a number of visitors, some here in town, some from out of town. I'd like to extend a very special welcome to you. Glad that you came to worship God with us. Have a couple of announcements and prayer requests before we get started in our lesson. We need to remember Marion. She is in California right now. It was last week that it was announced that her mother had passed away. She'd been in hospice care, and she's dealing with the arrangements and so forth right now. We need to remember her. And also, some of you might know, I don't know how many of you, this goes back a few years, Dean and Debbie Whaley. Dean used to be a minister across town at the Bright Angel Church of Christ. They live in Amarillo now, and he works with the Sunset School of Preaching. But their son, Damon, died, I think it was Friday, in a car accident. And I have no words for that. I can't imagine. And if you would, just remember that family. Barbara Spencer has been in the hospital a couple of days this week. She had food poisoning, got dehydrated real bad and so forth. She's home now, feeling a little bit better, but still weak. We need to remember her. And also, many of you remember R.C. and Carolyn Colby, who used to worship with us. They spend most of their year traveling around. R.C. is a big heavy equipment truck mechanic, and they go to different places as there's work available, and they're going to be going back to their home in Kansas. They usually watch us every Sunday, even when they're out of town, so we say hi to RC and Carolyn, but then they're going to be heading out after a couple weeks on another job for RC, and we need to remember them. Let's go to God in prayer before we get started in our lesson. Dearly Father, we come to you now humbly, bending our knee in prayer to you, thanking you for prayer, thanking you that we can come to you, open our hearts and minds to you in prayer, our deepest thoughts. Dear God, right now, we ask that you be with Marion and her family. We ask that you be with the Whaleys right now, as both of these families have lost loved ones, different ways, different experiences, but dear God, it's still losing a loved one. I don't care how prepared you are, it still hurts. We ask that you be with them, help them relieve some of that hurt through your word, through their brothers and sisters in Christ, to comfort them at this time. Dear God, we ask that you be with Barbara as she is recovering from food poisoning. Get her feeling better soon. Help her recover. Be with all of our health, everybody of this congregation, so that we can serve you. Not that where we can feel good and be at our peak. Not that. So we can serve you. That's the whole purpose. Dear God, we ask that you be with RC and Carolyn as they travel to support themselves. We hope that RC's work will be productive, that you will give them safe travels. Thank you for the safe travel of our visitors that have come here from various places. We ask that you be with them, open their hearts and minds to see your word today. Do that with all of us. Be with us the rest of this of this service as we look into your word. And we pray everything through your son Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
This is not a controversial topic at all today. Not at all. The title of this lesson is God Made Them Male and Female. Luckily, people don't get rebuttal time because there might be a long line of people that would want to refute this idea. But we're basing this out of Scripture. There is no shortage of different directions we could go with that statement. We're going to go one direction, and that's where we're going to look at the roles of men today. God made them male and female. Anything else that people will say is not made by God. Any other categories, any other, and I don't mean this irreverently or disrespectful for other people, but I can't remember the different XYZs, because I can't remember the initials. God made them male and female. Case closed.
Amen.
Any others were created not by God. Mark 10:6, and I'm glad you included the Genesis account in this, but Jesus is referring to the Genesis account, and Jesus is saying, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Mm-hmm. Jesus is saying this, not his opinion. And even if it was his opinion, he has the right to be speaking personally. He was at the beginning. So anything Jesus says is credible.
Amen.
Jesus is saying, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Regardless of what other people say. There is a difference. I'm not meaning this to be funny. You take men and you take women. There is a difference. Duh. I know what you're... Of course there is. There's the physical appearance differences. There's the physical, usually size, muscle matter makeup, bone structure, etc. There's an emotional makeup difference. Men and women are different. Not right or wrong, different. Their thought process is different. Mm-hmm. Abilities. Not that women can't do everything and anything that man can do. They can. But there's different abilities, different, and God knows that. God made it that way. Women are better in some things than men. Men are better in some things than men. God made it that way. Men. If you're willing, keep your toes out. You might get some toes stepped on today. If you don't want it, kind of tuck them up under your seat, because there may be some toes stepped on today. You have been called upon to be leaders of the family, whether you like it or not. You've been called to be the leader of the family. All look to you. God's given you broad shoulders for a reason. The buck stops with you. There's a lot of responsibility on that. Whether you like it or not, it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. What did Adam say when God confronted him about their sin? Tried to blame it on the woman. No. Adam, if you would have been doing your duty, it wouldn't have happened. Amen. If you would have been taking charge, and it's easy to blame it on somebody else, you can't do that. If Adam would have followed God's prescribed plan, Eve wouldn't have been deceived, and all would have been good. Your job, men, is to love, protect, provide for, train, and guide your family. Always. Not when it's easy. Not until they're out of the house. Those of us that have got grown kids, have you noticed we're still doing that? Even though they are out from under our roof, we're still training them. Whether it's on purpose or not, we still offer guidance. We still offer love. Oh, you're out of the house? You're on your own. See ya. Or when it gets messy. I'll speak for me. Sometimes being a parent, being a dad, was hard. I'll just speak for me. I got a feeling there's probably some amens out there. It is hard. Well, with kids like yours, of course. Yeah. It's hard.
They're all here today.
Yeah, they're all here. It's not always easy to be a father. Becoming a father is easy. That's the fun part. Afterwards, that's when the hard work begins. And it doesn't stop. You don't quit being a father just because they're grown.
Amen.
You take a different role when they're grown. You're still their father. And those things are still required of you. You've been called to be leaders of the church. Oh, that's just not for me. Now, leaders of the church doesn't necessarily mean everybody has to be an elder. I'm not saying that. Men have been called to be leaders in the church. Okay, and women, don't wear your elbow out, hitting the guy today, because your turn's next week. Okay? Whether you like it or not, you have been called to be leaders in the church. To teach, to preach, and to serve as elders and deacons. There's nobody else to pawn it off on. We can't just like, well, Mrs. So-and-so would she makes great decisions. Unfortunately, we can't do that because we have been called to be the leaders. We saw how that worked in the garden. When Adam relinquished his leadership, it went astray. In Genesis 2, it says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." They shall become one. They work together. Men, you're not their boss. They're not your hireling. You are joined together and intertwined with your wife. You're blended together. She becomes the important thing, not your mother and father anymore. Not that they're not important. You're intertwined with now your wife. The closer the husband and the wife get to God, the closer they get to each other. A husband and wife can, and people in the world do this all the time. They spend their time getting close to each other. You can get closer to your wife and your husband, but doesn't necessarily mean you will get closer to God. You can have a very successful worldly marriage. You see that all the time. But when husband and wife, as they get closer to each other, and if they get closer to God, they're going to get closer to each other. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 9, it says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." And I say, not the scriptures, I say that cord of three strands is man, woman, and God.
Amen.
That's me. That's not the scriptures. But a three-stranded cord is stronger than three separate cords by themselves. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Paul doesn't say, "Husbands, love your wives as long as she treats you right. Husbands, love your wives as long as she doesn't upset you. Husbands, love your wives as long as she doesn't nag. Husbands, love your wives as long as she's not a fishwife. Constantly pestering, doesn't say that. Husbands, love your wife. And don't go around yapping about her. When somebody goes around griping and complaining about their wife, you know my first thought? You chose her. I didn't pick her. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church, he gave everything. He gave himself for her. Now, I will be the first to say, did everybody appreciate what Christ did? No. Not everybody appreciated what Christ gave. You can give all of yourself to somebody, and for some, that still isn't enough. And I've known brothers or sisters that have done that. They've given everything they had, and it wasn't enough. What more could Jesus have done? But for some, it wasn't enough. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church.
Amen.
The Apostle Peter saw what Paul said. Peter says basically the same thing. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Peter is saying, you have understanding. There's going to be time, because of the differences, you may not understand them. In fact, guys, if you ever do, pull me aside and see me, because I want to know the secrets. I want to know the secret of understanding the woman. If you ever figure it out, let me know. But the husbands, deal with them with understanding. Giving honor to the wife. You're not the boss. You're the one that gives honor and preference. As to the weaker vessel does not mean inferior. It means delicate, special. Treat them with kid gloves. They are special, should be special to you. Treat them as a valuable prize that's yours. Treat them like that. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Being heirs together, when you leave your father and your mother and you become intertwined with your wife and you become one, you're both going to be partakers. Man's not the boss. The wife isn't the second-class citizen like in some cultures. Together, you're both heirs of the grace of life. Treat her as such. Why? Why are you to do this? Why are you supposed to dwell with them with understanding? Why are you to give honor to the wife? Why are you to treat them as heirs together so that your prayers may not be hindered. That's why you do it. Because if you don't, your prayers to God would be hindered. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Some of us in here, when we're dead and gone, we'll be able to leave maybe a little bit more to our kids than others. But you know what? Excuse me. I was hoping I was going to get through this without coughing. Whatever money and possessions we leave our children, that can be spent. That can be gone through. That can be lost. It can be lost in a fire. Possessions can be lost in a fire, huh, Susie? Everything you have can be lost in a fire. Don't lose your integrity. When you give your integrity to your children, they're going to be blessed long after you. Amen. Give them a name that nobody will be ashamed to say, I'm the son or the daughter of so-and-so. What a blessing that is, that you can hold your head high. That my father was so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. I'm looking in this audience right now, the influence that you're having on your children and your grandchildren, and in some instances, great-grandchildren. But it says, take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself. You go on an airplane, and before it takes off, the stewardess comes in and says, in the event of an emergency, the air mask will fall down. Put one on yourself first, then help others so you can help others. This verse says the same thing. Be diligent to take heed to yourself. Make sure you don't fall away. A couple of chapters later, it says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall walk and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. In other words, not just at church, not just on Sunday mornings, let your children see you be a Christian in everything that you do. How you deal with people. How you deal with people when things go your way. How you deal with people when things don't go your way. They're taking all of that in. Ephesians 6, 4, Paul says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
Amen.
We have the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus talked about in Luke 15. How the son foolishly wanted to go away, take his inheritance, and he went and foolishly spent it. One of the lessons we get from this as a father is be the anchor for when they do return. They know where to come back to. That's one of the, not only our own personal responsibility, but the taking heed so you don't fall away. It gives our children an anchor of where to return to when they come to their senses, just like the son in the story, and how to properly welcome them back. Not a lecture of I told you so, but to properly welcome them. Men are also to be called to be elders and deacons. Now, not all men are going to be an elder or a deacon. But only men are going to be called to be elders and deacons. In 1 Timothy and Titus, we see the qualifications, and one of them, men. Men, we have been called to be the leaders. It's not always easy to do. It's not always comfortable to do. There's no one to pawn it off on. The buck stops with us. Tremendous responsibility to uphold as husbands, as fathers, and leaders in the church. If you keep God in the equation, I think you're up to it. In fact, that's the only way we can be up to it, is if we keep God in the church, in our hearts. Women, I hope you didn't hurt your elbows by jabbing the guy next to you. See what you need to do. See what you need. I hope you didn't do it too hard, but I hope you did. Because men, we have an awesome responsibility ahead of us.
Amen.
To be leaders of our family, leaders of ourselves. You can't be a leader of anybody else if you can't lead yourself. If you can't conduct your own life properly, how do you think you're going to lead others?
Amen.
Women, God created them male and female. We're going to look at women next week and the role of children the following week. If we can be of any service to you, if you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, repentance, baptism, haven't looked. I think there's water in there. I would bet money that there's still water in there because I don't see leaking on the floor. So we had a leak a few weeks ago, but I think there's water in there. I'm not sloshing around over here. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while we stand and sing. I want to remind the men, you're not going to die of starvation. We have a meeting right after services. Shouldn't take long. We'll be meeting back in the big classroom back there at right after